الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم. بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When it goes, it starts by telling us that the Quran is revealed from a wise God and that the universe is not created in play. And what have, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the universe. What have these people that they make partners for him, what have they created? Do you have any proof that they are partners? It's made up. And kafa billahi shahida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough of a witness. The coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not something new. And what he is telling people is actually true. And it's a sort of a rhetorical question. What if the thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually warning about, what if it's actually true and they disbelieved in it? And what if there was proof for the children of Israel to corroborate that what he's saying is true? And their counter-argument is that, well, you know, if there's any good in this, then you wouldn't have beat us to it. And then they just call it lies. But actually, this Qur'an corroborates what came before it. For example, in the Torah, those who believe can remain firm, for them is Jannah. And man is enjoined to be good to his parents. His mother carried him with great difficulty. And such an individual, he eventually grows up and, you know, reaches 40 years of age. And then makes dua of thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he's given him and his parents. And asks for the tawfiq to give good, to do good deeds and for having good children who are on the deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from such people the best of what they do and overlooks their bad deeds. Compare this to the prodigal child who turns against his very parents while they cry for him to come to Iman. And instead, the way he replies to them is that, oh, you're just giving us, you're just telling these old-fashioned tales. Such are the people who are punished. And everyone will be rewarded according to their actions. They will be recompensed according to their actions. And the disbelievers, they get their reward in this world, but they'll have to face a punishment in the hereafter. And remember Hud alayhi salam when he warned the nation of Ad, and they basically said, bring it on. And he said, well, that's up to Allah. And when they saw the cloud coming towards them, they thought that it would have brought them rain, but it was actually carrying their punishment. And how many people that were there that came before that were more powerful than the Meccans? And where are they now? And there's other nations who are around you who have also been destroyed. And then all these shuraka and all these partners that they made with Allah, why didn't they come to help them? And then we're told about a group of the jinn that came to listen to the Quran. And then they went back to their nation, warning them, asking them to believe. And when people will be presented to the hellfire, that's when they'll know for sure that this was true. The Prophet was instructed to remain patient, just in the same way that the great messengers of resolve before him remained patient. And when they face what they will have to face in the hereafter, it will seem like they just spent an hour in the world. Next, we saw Surah Muhammad. The disbelievers, their good deeds are in vain. And the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook their bad deeds. And they're told to fight, the believers are told to fight valiantly until they defeated their enemy. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have taken vengeance himself. But he allows the fight to go on and the battle to ensue to test and to take people who will be martyred. And such people who are martyred, their good deeds will not be lost. And if you stick to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will help you and he will make your feet firm. And look at what happened to the nations past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protecting friend of the believers. And the disbelievers might be living it up in this world, then they're eating like cows. But in the hereafter, they will be in the fire while the believers will be in Jannah. And how many of a nation that came that was more powerful that has been destroyed and no one could help them? And how can the person who follows clear proof and the person who follows his desires, how can those two people be equal? Then we're told about what's there in Jannah. There'll be different types of rivers, river of water, of milk, of wine, of honey. There'll be all sorts of fruits. And compare this to those people who will be drinking boiling water such that it will tear up their GI tract. And there are some people who, you know, feign as if they're listening to the Prophet ﷺ, but not really. However, the ones who are guided, when when they listen to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also increases them in guidance. And are there people waiting except for the final hour? Because it's come close. And there's only one God. So we should seek forgiveness from him. And he is a God and a Lord who knows exactly what we're doing. So we should turn to him in repentance. And these people, they ask for a new revelation to come to them. But when a revelation, another surah, for example, and when it comes and it talks about fighting, then it looks like they're about to faint out of fear of death. And when they're engaging this quote-unquote fake obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know that they're faking. And if they decide not to fight, then perhaps they'll go back to their old ways of making fasad in the earth and chaos and cutting the ties of relationships. In the Quran, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, don't they contemplate on the Quran? And those people who turn away after seeing the clear truth have been tricked by shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their secret plots, and how will it be when the angels are basically smashing their faces? You think that their secret grudges that they're holding against Islam will not be exposed? And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, he could have exposed them right here and now. But you can tell about the hypocrites from the way that they talk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically created, you know, the world as a test. So, and he will test to see which are those people who will truly strive in his way. And those people who will truly remain patient. And so that they can manifest those characteristics. These people who are disbelievers and munafiqeen cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least. And their deeds are in vain. And so we're told to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger and not to invalidate our actions. People who died disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive such people. And the believers are instructed not to be weak and to lean towards compromise of a peace treaty when they're in a situation of power. And indeed, this whole life is just play and vanity. And if we believe and avoid sin, then it's to our benefit. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our money. But people who are stingy, they're basically not, it's not like they're withholding it against Allah. They're stingy against themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rich already. And people who turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can replace them with the people who won't be like them. Next, we start Surah Fath. And this was revealed after the Rasulullah ﷺ returned from Hudaybiyah in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah in the sixth year of Hijrah. And on the surface, it looked like a loss. And the Meccan Quraysh were getting everything that they want, and the Muslims were on the, you know, losing end of the agreement. But in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a huge victory. And we don't have the time to go into all the ways that it turned out to be a victory. But that was really the manifest ramification of the treaty, because it basically stabilized attack from the Meccans and allowed Islam to propagate itself and spread, and the Muslims to increase in their strength. And so that's why that this is called Fath. It was a clear victory. And we're told that at that point, the Prophet ﷺ had already done so many good deeds that he was basically forgiven for any mistake that he would make in the past or in the future. And no other human being had reached this level of perfection or will ever reach that level of perfection. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't sin like all the Anbiya. He can make a mistake in terms of his ijtihad on an issue, that's possible, but they never willfully disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when this ayah was revealed, the companions congratulated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then they said, what about us? And so then the next verses talk about how the believers will be entered into heaven, and how the hypocrites and the polytheists have the anger and curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, and they will not have, and if that's the case, who will help them? And then they will be in hell. The forces of heaven and earth are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the messenger is a warner and a giver of glad tidings, so that the believers, when they hear this and they have this information, that they will support him. And an example of this is what happened with Uthman radiallahu anhu. So when they had gone there, Uthman radiallahu they were actually going for Umrah before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And then the Quraysh, they blocked them from being able to come into Mecca. So Uthman radiallahu anhu went in to negotiate, and then news came back that he had been killed. So the Prophet ﷺ took a pledge from the companions that they're going to fight. And this was Bay'at al-Ridwan, and they all took that covenant and that bay'ah. And they were actually making a bay'ah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His hand was over their hands. And this is just say, this is an example of the support of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is as opposed to the Bedouins who stayed behind, and then they made all these lame excuses. And they actually thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba wouldn't actually ever make it back. But then when they did come back and they went to Khaybar, and they smelled that, you know, they would get spoils of war there, then they said, oh, now we're ready to follow you. So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, they can't follow you. And when you tell them that you can't follow, that you can't come to Khaybar, then they say, oh, you just don't want us to share in the money. You're just, you know, having hasad for us. So the Quran says, well, tell them that if you're going to be called to fight a strong people, like, for example, the Hawazin, and if you follow, then you'll have good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with the believer, and you'll have good. And if you're not, then you're going to be punished. Would they come to fight? And then we're told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the believers who took that bay'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the bay'at al-Ridwan that I just talked about under the tree, and that he put their heart at peace with the decision that was made. Because initially, there was a feeling like that this is so unfair, and they had come with all their hopes to make Umrah, and then they weren't able to do so. And they were also promised abundant spoils of war. And this is a sign, because success came to them despite their small numbers. They can know that the help is truly coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those victories are going to continue. This is the sunnah of Allah, and that He will give victory to the believers over the disbelievers. And He also made them avoid the battle in the Holy Land, and this was facilitated by the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which ended up being good for the Muslims. And if it wasn't for the fact that there was actually some weak Muslims amongst the Meccan Quraysh who were hiding their faith amongst them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have exterminated the believers, disbelievers that day itself. And the disbelievers, when they were, you know, writing this, they were arrogant when they were drafting the treaty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave peace to the Muslims and gave them steadfastness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. And Muhammad Rasulullah, he's the messenger of Allah. And those who are with him are strong against the believers and soft with each other. And we're told about their characteristics. You see them prostrating. So you see them prostrating, and then the mark of the prostration is on their forehead. And this is the example that's given to them about them in the Torah, and the example about them given in the Injil, in the Bible, is like a seed that sends out a crop, and that becomes strong. And this referred to the support of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a great reward is promised for the believers. Next we come to Surah Hujurat, and in the surah the different adab and manners and etiquettes with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are discussed, and also the unity and how to be Muslims should be with each other. So one of the things that several adab, for example, don't make a decision before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you what you need to do. Don't raise your voice over him, or else all your deeds may become useless. That you should speak to him in a soft tone. Don't speak to him the way that you speak to each other. Some of these uncivilized, Arabi Bedouins, they used to call him from behind his house, like behind where his wives used to live. But that wasn't the way to call the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should just wait until he actually comes out. And then we're told that if a sinful person, and then we're told about a lot of the social rulings. For example, say a person comes to you who's sinful and he gives you some news, you should verify it. You shouldn't just go around spreading it. You know, it's enough of the lights to spread everything that you hear. And if the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was to follow the believers, the sahaba, and what they wanted, they would probably fall into hardship because the prophet says some knew better. But it's a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made belief beautiful to their hearts and made sin dislike to them. And then we talk. Then it talks about unity amongst the Muslims. That if there's two factions, then you should make peace between them. But if one of them rebels, then you should fight the one that rebels until it comes back to the command of Allah. And if they come back, then you should reconcile with justice. And the background of that there was a scuffle that happened between an Ansari man who was basically preventing his wife from visiting her family, and then her family tried to, you know, take the girl from their side, and things escalated to a certain level. But we're told that the believers are brothers. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. And so we shouldn't make fun of each other. We shouldn't ridicule each other. We shouldn't, you know, make names against each other. You know, don't go around telling someone, oh, hey, ugly, or, you know, hey, fatso, or something like that. Don't have bad suspicion on the other people. Don't spy. Don't backbite. It's like eating the dead flesh of your brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as a single family because we're all from Adam and Eve. So we're equal in our humanity. And He made us into nations so that we can really, there's a way for us to know that, you know, who the other party is. And the best person is the person who has the most taqwa. That is the mi'yar, that is the standard of who's better than other people, not what nationality you are. And the Bedouins, you know, they say that they believe, but you know, they're told that true belief hasn't really entered your heart yet. The true believers are those who don't have any doubt and who truly strive with their lives and in their wealth. And they act, you know, when they become Muslims, they act as if they did a favor, but really the favor was done on them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to be Muslim. Next, we come to Surah Al-Qaf. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that the disbelievers find it a strange thing that a man who is just like them has come to warn them, and that when they're dead, that they'll actually be resurrected. And they denied the truth, and they're asked, don't you look at the heavens, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it, and how the earth has spread before them, and how it's become stabilized with pegs, and how many beautiful and delightful things He has made for us. And He sends the rain, and He gives life to the dead earth. In the same way, we're going to be resurrected. Then we're reminded about the different nations that disbelieved before, and the warning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came true with regards to them. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't tired after the first creation, but these people who doubt about it, they're just confused. He created man, and He knows what his lower self whispers to him, and He's closer to us than our jugular vein. And there are angels who are recording every single thing that we do, sitting on our right and our left. And death will come, the trumpet will be blown, and things on that day will become crystal clear. And people will argue with their shayateen, right? Because everyone has a qareen, a shaytan that's with them. Even the Prophet ﷺ, but his qareen became a Muslim. But the shayateen try to mislead us. And it will be basically said to them, لَا تَخْتَسِمُوا لَدَيَّ, stop arguing in front of me. And then people will be put in hell, and it will be asked, are you full? And he says, and hell will say, no, are there any more? And paradise will be brought close to the believers. And these are the ones who had fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will have whatever they want. And how many people there were in times past who were stronger than, for example, the Meccans, that were destroyed before them. This is just a reminder. The earth and the heavens were made in 6 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can get tired after that. So just be patient, praise Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them. He knows what they're doing. And the Prophet says, some is reminded that you can't force them to believe, so just remind them. Then we start Surah Dhariyat. And here, what's it called? This is the last page of the juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, He swears by the clouds, by the boats in the sea, by the angels, that the recompense of deeds is going to surely happen. And people have different ideas about things, but they're just basically confused. So turn away from those who turn away. They're drowning in ignorance. And these are the people who ask, when will the final day be? But when they will come, they will taste it. And on that day, the believers will be heaven, taking the reward from their Lord. And these are the ones who used to stand up in the night, and they used to repent in the early morning or hours before dawn. And these are the ones who spent from their wealth. And then Allah SWT reminds us that, look, there's signs all around you. There's signs within yourself. There's signs in the world around you. And the day of recompense will come, and it is as true as the fact that we can speak. And then we're told about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he rushed to slaughter a calf when the angels visited him, and then they gave him the glad tidings of a child, and his wife was amazed. But Allah SWT can do whatever He wants.